Wisdom of Kabbalah on Audio, from the teachings of Kabbalist Rav Berg, Spiritual Director of the Kabbalah Center. Welcome to Creating Miracles, Tape 6, hosted by Rabbi Michael Moskowitz of New York Kabbalah Center.
This is Rabbi Michael Moskowitz. Welcome back to our Miracles course. Today we're going to talk about the power of money. Money is an issue that scares a lot of people at a lot of different levels. And there's usually a lot of negativity that's attached to the idea of money, even though it's something that we pursue on a day-to-day basis. We've all heard the expression, money is the root of all evil. Do we all necessarily believe that? I don't think so. If you still have this illusion that money is the root of all evil, I hope to dissuade you from that by the end of today's talk. One of the interesting things to note is that you see a lot of different aspects of people's personalities when money is involved. And if you talk to people, you'll notice that money is one of the last things they actually discuss when it's one of the first things that's on your mind when you begin a conversation with someone. We all know that how much a person makes, what their salary is one of the last things a person likes to reveal about themselves. It seems to indicate something about their energy level or their degree of success in life, and they're hesitant to open that up and just lay it on the table after a first introduction or a first meeting. We know that the desire to pursue money has motivated many people to strange behavior, if not criminal activity. Also, money is an issue in relationships. Very often it's a source of anger or a source of contention between husbands and wives, between friends, between students and teachers, between people in general. People are very suspicious about money and about all the questions that surround the energy of money. In order for us to really be able to tap the energy of money in a miraculous way, and that's what this talk is all about, how we can bring energy into the zone of miracles, how we can bring the energy of money into a level where it can help be a channel to bring us the fulfillment that we're all looking for. First, we have to understand what the power of money is, and what is the chaos that's attached to money? And more importantly, what is the light force of the Creator that's connected to money? We know that money manifests on a physical level, ultimately. Whether it's a check or a money order, whether it's cash, whether it's an electronic transaction, it's still money. It's still physical on a certain level. There's physical attachment to money. There's a number attached to it, so therefore there's limitation. Meaning, when you say it's $10, it's $10. It's not $50, it's not $100, it's $10. And we know that the moment you limit something, you've injected the energy of separation from the Creator, because the Creator is unlimited energy. When we inject limitation, meaning beginning, middle, end, giving it a number, giving it a quantity, we've injected the energy of chaos and uncertainty into that entity, and that's a chaos force we'll have to deal with at some point in the future. So because money ultimately manifests in the world of physicality, in the 10th dimension, in Malchut, we know that Satan, or the forces of chaos, play a big role there, which is why so much negativity is attached to money. It attracts the energy of limitation because there's so much fear and so much suspicion surrounding money. However, on the other hand, the energy of money also has a potential aspect connected to it. We know that money also, on a certain level, is undefined. Money is raw, unmanifested energy on a certain level. It lives in the world of potential. I'll give you an example. If you have a banana, which is something physical, and it also contains the energy of God, but it's still just a banana. It's a fruit. You can't say a banana is a chair, and you can't say a banana is a car. It's simply a banana. Same thing with an apple or an orange. Money is physical in terms of chaos being able to attach itself to it, but it's potential because it can be anything, and it can be used in any way. Money, like the light, exists in an unmanifested state. And I can use an amount of money to purchase a car, a house, a banana, an article of clothing, furniture. So in the physical level, it has that unmanifested potential state. So physical things that exist in the 10th dimension have precise degrees of limitation. Money can be anything on the physical level, like the light force of the Creator. So there is a similarity of form there between the energy of money and the light of the Creator. Now, what we want to learn how to do is take the energy of money out of the realm of chaos and introduce it into the world of miracles, into that miracle zone, where we know it can only act as a channel for revealing light. Again, that's what a miracle is. We know that miracles, again, cannot appear in the 10th dimension in our world called Malchut, because it's the world of limitation, it's the world of chaos, it's the world of uncertainty, it's the state of consciousness that the forces of chaos want us to remain in. If we want to see miracles, it's all about us leaving that dimension so we can experience the fulfillment of the Creator. When we're talking about money, it represents security for a lot of people. How much money I have in the bank? Do I have enough money? Is it enough money for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren? A lot of people think like this, and I guess on a certain level, they do think like this because, similar to the light, the money can be anything. So in people's minds, it represents security because it's a medium that can be used to acquire anything they need. I guess that's part of the definition of security at the physical level. Getting what I want whenever I want it and having the vehicle to be able to obtain it. We call that money. It's interesting because it's very subtle. On the one hand, money seems to be imitating the energy of the light, but we know it's not the light. We know that ultimately our fulfillment must come from an appreciation that all energy we have does come from the Creator, and it doesn't come from finite physical things. Everybody feels the power that's in money, and everyone says that money is power, but unfortunately, it's very hard for most people to connect to the positive energy that exists within the money. Now, what's this power that we're looking for? What is this energy that we're looking for? Because I've heard some people say money doesn't mean anything to them. Very often, these people also consider themselves to be spiritual. Money doesn't mean a thing to me. That doesn't mean that you're spiritual if money doesn't mean anything to you. It could just mean you don't appreciate something that the Creator put in this world. It could simply mean that you don't have a desire for that level of energy. Or it could simply mean that you don't need it in your personal correction process. It's simply not an issue for you. Also, if you do have a lot of money in your life, it doesn't necessarily make you special. Because sometimes people feel that way. Because I have X amount of dollars in the bank, I deserve or I'm entitled a certain level of appreciation or a certain level of recognition. So how do we use money or the energy of finances to help us experience miracles in our lives? And I'm going to ask a very fascinating question right now. Does our financial security depend on how much money we have in the bank? For most people, the answer would be, of course. Isn't the definition of financial security how many zeros are at the end of my bank account statement? If there aren't too many zeros, then I don't feel so secure from a financial point of view. If I see a lot of zeros, then I feel very secure. We've seen people that have billions of dollars in their bank accounts, and they're still worried about financial security. We've all read the stories about millionaires or billionaires committing suicide because they lost half of their fortune. What are you talking about? You still have $100 million in the bank. But I guess it seems to be a relative appreciation because it's not enough for that individual. So the question I guess really is financial security a physical state? Can I have only $5 in the bank and still be financially secure? That's a strange question to ask because, again, we normally associate financial security with how much of that entity called money we possess. In order for us to understand what financial security is all about, we need to be able to explore how we perceive money and how we place value on money. Imagine, for instance, a billionaire driving in his Rolls Royce is pulling up at a toll booth, and he goes to throw in the 50 cents toll, and accidentally the quarters don't go into the bucket. Many of them might simply take 50 more cents out of their pockets and throw it into the toll machine and ignore the 50 cents that fell on the floor. From the rich person's point of view, it might simply be too much trouble to open the door, pick up the quarters, and throw it in. Some people have that consciousness. For a beggar, those 50 cents might be half of his fortune. If the net worth of a beggar is $1, meaning that's all he has in his pocket, and if he loses 50 cents, that's half of his wealth. So it's interesting. For one person, it's two meaningless coins that it's not even worth bending over to pick up. For another person, it's half of the wealth. The fascinating thing is, the money stays the same. It's the same amount of money. But where are we in relation to that energy? Where are we in relation to that amount? How do we perceive the money? How do we value money? It's the same money. It's the same thing, and we look at it in a very different and very relative way. we're going to see that we judge money based on our perception of it. When it's important to us, when we value it, it means a lot to us. We're not talking about good or bad in the judgmental sense of the word. We're talking about how we place a value on money itself. An amount that means something to a beggar might not mean much to us. And when we have less value for money, we're not giving it too much energy, and we're certainly not collecting a lot of energy from it. But why is that? When we forget about the value that's in money, what does that mean? Forgetting means losing connection from a spiritual point of view, losing the value of that thing. When you are connected to something, you always remember. In Hebrew, actually, the word for remember is the word zachor, which comes from the root zachar, which means potential or continuous flow of energy. When we forget something, if we forget a meeting, for instance, it means we didn't connect to the energy of the meeting, we didn't connect to the value of the meeting, therefore it wasn't important to us, and we forgot about it. When something is important to you, when you perceive the value in something, you never forget it. So connection means awareness. If forgetting means no connection, awareness means being connected. When we make a connection, it causes us not to forget, and we always remember to be aware that we should be connected in order to draw the energy. We're going to explain something right now which is very important from a spiritual point of view. In understanding the definition of money, we first have to understand what the source of the money is. Where does the money come from? Where does that energy emanate from? We know that all energy ultimately comes from the light, because the desire to share of the light, the giving of the light, is the ultimate cause for creation and everything in this world. Everything that we call fulfillment comes from the Creator. Certainly money, health, relationships, everything. We value the money, meaning the energy or the light, not according to what it truly is. What is it really? The light of God. We don't value it according to that. We value it whether we are connected to it or not, whether we have forgotten what it is or not. We value it based on ourselves, not on what it actually is. And if we value energy based on our perception of it, that's what we call the desire to receive for the self alone, or reactive thinking. It's the light of God. Everything is contained in the light of God. Everything about the light of God is precious. If we only view it in terms of how important it is to us, then it's all about me. It's all about my ego. It's all about my personal agenda. And like we've explained before, when it's about me, my ego, my personal agenda, then the light can't be there. And if the light can't be there, fulfillment can't be there. And miracles can't be there. And the things that we're all working so hard to attain will run away from us. We won't draw them to us. How we perceive money is similar to how we perceive the light of the Creator. It's similar to how we perceive God. If we ask the light for help because we have problems, then it's not about the light force of the Creator, it's about our problems. And if we don't need any help, then we don't make any effort to connect to the light of the Creator. We don't care about the light. It seems that we only care about the light of the Creator when we need that energy. So the value that we give to the Creator seems to be based on our pain. If we have a lot of pain, that's when we ask for the light. And when we don't have pain, then we're not even interested in talking to the Creator. So we see that we're creating value based on ourselves, not on the energy itself. Rabbi Ashlag, the Kabbalist that started the Kabbalah Learning Center in Israel, once phrased it in a beautiful way. He said, imagine people that you lend money to. There are certain people you'd lend a dollar to, but you wouldn't lend them $2. You might lend them $5, but not 10. You might lend some people 50, but not 100. Maybe there's one or two people in the world, half of your fortune, you would loan it to them because you trust them. And maybe there's one person in the world that you would trust them with everything that you own. That's how much faith you have in that individual. That's how much knowing you have in that person's ability to be able to return the energy back to you. Rabbi Ashlag said, this is the game that we play with the light of the Creator. Instead of loaning the Creator money, we loan the Creator value. We loan the Creator faith, meaning how much do we know that the light of the Creator is in our lives? Do we know it $5 worth? Do we know it $10 worth? $50 worth? $1 million? $1 billion? The light is always there waiting to be tapped. How much of a vessel are we willing to open up to receive that energy? How much do we perceive the value of the Creator? The amazing secret of understanding the spiritual power of money is, regardless of our situation, regardless of where our vessel is, the light has the same value. The light has the same energy. We look at a penny, we say it's just a penny. We look at $1 billion, we go, oh, wow, that's security. That'll take care of me and my kids and my grandkids. But don't we all know people that lost $1 billion in a matter of days? I personally know a family that lost $14 billion in one day. So why is that? Why do we look at a penny as just a penny? And why do we look at $1 billion and go, wow, we just mentioned before, you can lose $1 billion just as quickly as you can lose the penny. Why is that? Maybe, and this is something very special, maybe all of the energy that's in $1 billion is compressed in that one penny. Can that be? Of course it can be. Is there light of the Creator in the penny? Yes. Is there light of the Creator in $1 billion? Yes. Is there more light in $1 billion than in the penny? That's where we fall. The answer is no. Light is light. When you tap the light of the Creator, that means you're tapping infinite energy. It means you're tapping the field of all possibilities. You're tapping the energy of miracles. That energy exists in the penny just like it exists in $1 billion. It's our perception that limits the energy from being revealed. It's not the actual light that's in the entity. That's what we meant before when we said, regardless of our situation, we should always perceive that the light or money has the same value. It doesn't matter what the amount is. It's the light of the Creator that's in it. So if you understand that concept, you can understand that the penny and $1 billion is the same thing. But what's the secret? If we forget that the penny is like $1 billion, and what does that mean? We forgot. We were not connected to the light of the Creator that's in the penny. A lot of us, we don't even have to be billionaires. I know many people that wouldn't even bother to bend over to pick up a penny from the sidewalk. Again, it comes from forgetting, a lack of perceiving how the light of the Creator is lying there waiting to be revealed. And if you don't care about the penny, you're not going to be able to care about $1 billion either, as we've explained in prior talks. The energy is the same. The only thing that changes is the vessel. The light never changes. The light is constant. It's the same light in $1 billion as it is in the penny. If our consciousness can't perceive the light in the penny, we won't be able to perceive the value in $1 billion either. That's the secret of money.